We go to the Lord this morning, the sermon titled, With All Your Heart. And our scripture text is found in Proverbs 3 and 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. The Bible makes many references to the heart. Now, it's not talking about that large muscle in the middle of your chest, but it's referencing, it's speaking of the spirit and the soul of man. In fact, the first reference in the Bible where God changes a man's heart, where God makes a man different once he comes to know God and draws close to God, is found in 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 9. It's referencing the newly anointed King Saul. And the scripture says, so it was when he turned his back to go from Samuel that God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day. God gave him another heart. God gave him a new heart. And in fact, the Bible references the heart as having feelings. And there's many scriptures that reference that. You'll see these in Psalm 73:21. Thus my heart was grieved. Psalm 84 and 2. My heart and my flesh cry. John 14 and 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You're very familiar with that verse. Psalm 101 and verse 5. The one who has a haughty look and a proud heart. Proverbs 15 and 13. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. So I ask this question today. What is in your heart? I will tell you this. What is in your heart will be seen, and it'll be seen by others, because what is in your heart is who you are. What is in your heart is how you think. It's how you act. What is in your heart is how you respond to situation events, and especially how you respond to other folks. This scripture in Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 27:19, as in water face reflects face, so a man's heart reveals the man. What is inside of us reveals, it comes out sooner or later. Proverbs 27:19, as a water face to face reflects, a man's heart reveals the man. Also then in Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. That means guard our hearts. Guard what comes into our hearts. Our lives, our decisions, the how we live our life, our priorities, are all based upon what is in our hearts. Now, you can hide it for a little while. You can fake it for a short time. But sooner or later, what is in your heart is going to be revealed. It's going to be known by those around you. A lonely boy in a Kentucky log cabin would lay by fireside at night reading books that he had borrowed. And things crept into his heart, deep into his mind and heart and soul. And he saw visions of great tasks and great people. That young boy was Abraham Lincoln. And he became a great leader for our nation. He became a great leader that was desperately needed at a critical time in our history. He was a man made by the things that was in his heart. A humble mechanic had in his heart to make an automobile that every, even the poorest man in town could afford to buy. And that man's dreams came true, and Henry Ford became one of the world's greatest industrialists. But he was made by the things that was in his heart. The scripture text that we looked at in Proverbs remind us of this eternal truth, that we are all made by the things which is in our heart. For example, the artist is made by the art that's in his heart. The musician is made by the music that's in his heart. The wrong things, the stuff that shouldn't be there, the wrong things in a man's heart will make him a thief, will make him an adulterer, will make him an alcoholic, it'll make him a liar. But the right things in the man's heart will make him a devoted husband and father, will make him a man of God that's honored and respected. The wrong things in a man's heart can make him judgmental. The wrong things in our hearts can make us critical and condescending and fault-finding and even hateful. The right things, though, in our heart can make a man or a woman radiant. Think about that. Jesus in our hearts can make us radiant, can make us full of joy, can make us full of love and gentleness, just like the heart of our Savior Jesus. So let me ask you this question. How do you look at life this morning? What's your perspective? Followed up by the question, what is in your heart? Is your heart this morning, is it full of numb, dull sense of despair? Is your heart feeling low and sad? Or perhaps you look at life each day and you're full of anticipation. You're full of expectation that with Christ with you, all things are possible. And no matter what the circumstances are, it's going to be a good day because Christ is with you. Every day can be a great day when Jesus is with us. And you think about it as born-again believers, there should be a song in our heart, shouldn't there? As a believer in Christ, there should be always be a song in our heart. You hear a song and it just won't go away. It just stays there and it just is in your mind over and over and over, you know. A song should be in our heart. God pity the person. God pity the believer that doesn't have a song in their heart. You know, sometimes the song of disappointment is sung by some folks. Sometimes the song of lost love is sung by others. But praise God, there's many folks that sing a song of hope because God gives us hope. There was a real popular song back in the 50s. I can remember in the boys' choir that I was part of in school, we had to learn this song, and the song was High Hope. You probably remember this song. Next time you're found with your chin on the ground, there's a lot to be learned. So look around. Just what makes that little old ant think he'll move that rubber tree plant? Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant, but he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high apple pie in the sky hopes. So anytime you're getting low, instead of letting go, just remember that ant. Whoops, there goes another rubber tree plant. And then for a side effect, they go this, you know, like that. Gotta have the side effects. A song in our heart should be the song of the upper road. In life, there's the low road, and then there's the high road. David, in one of his psalms, said that the Lord had lifted him up out of the mire and placed his feet on a rock. And he went on to say he put a new song in his heart. That's the song we ought to have. Our feet should be walking on the high road, not on the low road. Our feet should be walking on that road to higher heights, the road that Jesus has for us. Here's an eternal truth. All of us, at one time in our life, we face a fork in the road. Which way do we go? Do we take the road that's low? Do we take the road that is through the mud and the slime and the crud of life that ends in eternal doom? Do we take that road, or do we take the other road that goes up the hill? Do we take the road that's the road of beauty and joy and usefulness and purpose and eternal glory? We make a choice in life. What road are you on today? When we walk that upper road, when we're walking it with Jesus, our hearts are full of the songs of the upper road. My faith is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust a sweeter frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. St. Francis of Assisi, he had a song in his heart. All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Walking that upper road, it brings us to that point of praise and worship and that shouting of hallelujah to our Lord. It's all coming from our heart. The song in our heart should also be a song of trust. You look at the world today, you see aggressive nations constantly creating terror and turmoil in the world. You see these nations, you see the nations of radical Islamists. They want control of the Middle East, don't they? They want control of the Middle East. They want to destroy Israel and all the Jews. They want to destroy America. They want to destroy Christianity. China wants total control of the China Sea. Russia wants control of the old Soviet Empire, all of those parts of our world today known as Eastern Europe. Secular progressivism, secular progressives in our nation, the United States of America, those that deny God, they want to turn America, in my humble opinion, they want to turn America into a cesspool of sin and depravity. They want to advance the LGBTQ and transgender initiative. They want to advance abortions. They want to marginalize our faith and make fun of our faith in the Word of God, in Christ, in the Bible. Sometimes we see situations, we watch the news, and it almost seems hopeless when we look at the world, and maybe we ask ourselves for just a moment, we say, well, God, what can we do? I'll tell you, there's only one thing we can do to make sure our trust is not in the things of this world, is not in who the leaders are of this world, but our trust is in God and God alone. Because if it's in anything else, we're going to be disappointed. I'll tell you this, God never lost a war. He never fails. Out of all the chaos of this world, He's promised you and me final victory. I'm on God's side and He's with you and me. Aren't you thankful for that today? Louisa Steed was born in 1850 in Dover, England. When she was 21 years old, she immigrated to the United States. Here in the United States, she attended a revival meeting in Urbana, Ohio. And in that revival meeting, she gave her heart to Jesus. Louisa later married a man named Steed. And in 1879, the family had gone on a beachside picnic with their little 4-year-old daughter, Lily. Well, without realizing it, Lily had got too far out into the depth of the water. And she began to drown, and the father ran to save his little daughter Lily, and he saved the daughter, but the father drowned that day. Shortly after his death, Louisa took little Lily, their daughter, with her, and she went to South Africa as a missionary. And it was there during her time of service in South Africa, serving the Lord as a missionary, she wrote this great song. "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er, Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more." At age 67, just before she died, Louisa Steed wrote these words. In the face of difficulties, with simple confidence and trust, we say, our sufficiency is of God. Is your sufficiency of God today? He is all sufficient for whatever the need is. Oh my God, put a song of trust in our hearts today. Then the song in our heart should also be a song of satisfaction. I tell you, nothing, I mean nothing, can ever satisfy our hearts like Jesus. Nothing can. Years ago, a certain printer had a very unique way of advertising his print shop. He used a very unusual trademark. He put a circle on the paper, and in the middle of that circle, he put his name, the name of his print shop. And underneath that, he put three words, I never disappoint. I want to tell you today, Jesus never disappoints. Oh, may the song in our heart be the song of the upper road. May it be the song of hope. May it be the song of trust. May it be the song of satisfaction that can only come from our Savior Jesus. So in addition to there should be a song in our heart, there should also be a dream in our heart, a dream in our heart. In some ways, I have to admit to you, I believe I've always been a little bit of a dreamer. Most of you know I grew up in a home full of violence and in poverty and a father that was rarely there. He would kind of come and go, but was rarely at home. And when I visited the homes of my aunts and uncles and my grandparents, or visited the home of folks in our church, I could see what a home was like when the father, the husband, was loving and he was there for the family. I would dream of what it would have been like if my dad came home every night and had supper with us. I would dream of what it would be like that each morning I would wake up and he would be there. On Saturdays, I would wake up and my dad would be there and we would do chores together. And on Sunday mornings, I would wake up and my dad would be there and he would take us to church as a family. I would dream of what it would be like to always see my dad being kind and caring and loving and respectful to my mother, and praying and trusting God for our family. It was a dream that was in my heart, but unfortunately that dream was never realized. So I found myself dreaming of the kind of father, the kind of husband that I wanted to be, the kind of home that I wanted to have as an adult, of being the dad and the husband that I've often would see not only in family and friends' homes, but examples that I would see on television back when television had some wholesome and good shows on. You know, I would see the fathers in stories like Leave It to Beaver. I like that show. Or Father Knows Best, that what that father was like in the family. Or even in a good Western like The Rifleman, the connection between the father and the son. Or on the Andy Griffith Show, that connection between a dad and his boy. And I would look at my own grandparents and my uncles and my Sunday school teacher, my Royal Ranger leader, and those folks that God put in my life as examples, and I would see them as a loving father and husband, and they became my examples. I'll tell you today, you can't become what God wants you to become without a dream in your heart. A dream in your heart. I had painted a picture in my own heart, in my life, to serve Jesus with all of my heart and having my own family serving Jesus. I had this dream of marrying a wonderful Christian girl, and I'm still hoping I can find someone like that. I had to throw that in for those of you that might have fallen asleep, but I thank God for the wonderful Christian girl that God gave me. I had dreamed of getting an education, and it's just miraculous how God opened doors for a goofy little 17-year-old boy whose stepfather had kicked him out of the house and told him, figure it out on your own. And by God's grace and blessings and help, I was able to graduate from a fine university at Southern Methodist University in Dallas, who won a great game last night, if you happen to know. Later on, God put in my heart and in Sherry's heart, this church. He put in our heart this church that would be a unique place of loving outreach and ministry for senior adults. What an incredible thing it has been to see that dream come true. We are so blessed to be a part of that. I encourage you to keep your heart and your life full of dreams. Dreams for your service to Jesus, for your family. Big dreams, wonderful dreams. Dreams of the future. Dreams that will be in your heart that will influence and guide you. Dreams that will guide your decisions and your priorities and your passions, because Christ is there. And lastly, with a song in your heart and with a dream in your heart, there should be a name. There should be a name in your heart. Legends tell us that when the surgeon was probing for a bullet in the breast of a French soldier, the soldier said, "Cut a little deeper and you'll find the emperor in my heart." A great Italian artist once said, "Open my heart and you'll see engraved upon it Italy." The name, though, the name that should be engraved on our heart is the name which is above every name. It is the name that is the sweetest note in Seraph's song. It is the name that is the sweetest name on mortal tongue. It is the name of Jesus. It should be engraved in our hearts. If His name is engraved in our hearts, then all of our songs will be sweeter. All of our dreams will be more wonderful than we could ever imagine. Oh, listen, with the name of Jesus, when the name of Jesus is in our heart, it is a buffer against temptation. Take the name of Jesus with you as a shield from every snare. If temptations gather around you, breathe that holy name in prayer. You know, the name of Jesus should be a shelter in the storms. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then wherever you go. That's a beautiful song, isn't it? Oh, when you have the name of Jesus, then your goals are different. In the final analysis, our ultimate heart's desire will be one thing and one thing only, to please Him, to please Jesus. You remember what Paul said? He said, "This one thing I do." So in conclusion this morning, we can never shine for Jesus. We can never be pleasing to Him until He is the source of all that is in our heart. The source of all. Until He is first place in our heart and in our life. The Bible speaks repeatedly about loving and trusting and serving God with all your heart. That expression, with all your heart, it represents a total commitment, doesn't it? A total holding nothing back. And just look at these examples from the Bible, for examples in Deuteronomy 4:29. "But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find Him if you seek Him with all your heart, with all your soul." It says it again in Deuteronomy 6:5, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength." In 1 Samuel 12:24, "Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart. For consider what great things He's done for you." Praise God for those wonderful statements that God gives us. And again, in Joel 2:12, "Now therefore says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning." Zephaniah 3:14, "Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all your heart." Are you getting it today? God says it to us over and over, with all your heart. Acts 3:8-37, "Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And then our scripture text that we started with in Proverbs 3:5, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your understanding." So we're encouraged today to seek, to love, to serve, to turn to Him, to sing, to shout, to rejoice, to believe, and to trust with all your heart. It's been said that Rudyard Kipling, the great poet, had the following scripture engraved over his fireplace in the room that he did his work. This was on his fireplace. "The night cometh when no man can work." Day by day, the great poet Kipling was constantly reminded that he must be busy at his God-given task. Let you and I remember this word is true. The end is going to be so soon. Jesus is coming any moment, any day. He's coming to take us home with Him in heaven. But we must redeem the time. That means, when I say redeem the time, that means we must take advantage of every opportunity that God gives us to share the joy and the good news and the hope of Jesus Christ. That we must remember that with that in our hearts, with Jesus in our heart, that our motto and our passion should be, that's recorded in Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What is the rest of it? And all these things will be added unto you. I had walked life's way with an easy tread, had followed where comforts and pleasures led, until one day, in a quiet place, I met the Master face to face. With station and rank and wealth for my goal, much thought for my body but none for my soul, I had entered to win in life's mad race when I met the Master face to face. I had built my castles and reared them high till their towers pierced the blue of the sky. I had sworn to rule with an iron mace when I met the Master face to face. I met him and knew him and blushed to see that his eyes of sorrow were fixed on me. And I faltered and fell at his feet that day while my castles melted and vanished away. Melted and vanished, and in their place naught else could I see but the Master's face. And I cried aloud, "Oh, make me meet to follow the steps of thy wounded feet." My thought is now for souls of men. I've lost my life to find it again. Ere since one day, in a quiet place, I met the Master face to face. Let's all be sure today that we've met the Master face to face. I begin this sermon this morning referencing that episode where God changed King Saul's heart. God gave him a new heart, another heart. Has Jesus changed your heart? Oh, surrender everything to him this morning. Surrender everything. Let him give you a new heart, a heart that's full of love and joy and his peace. And let's make sure that in our hearts, his song, his dreams, and his name is always, always in our hearts. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you today. We thank you for the word and the direction and guidance it gives us, the encouragement, the admonition, and the direction that we receive from your holy word. And by your Holy Spirit, oh God, let our hearts be hungering for you, desiring you more than anything in this world. Let us reach up in faith today to commit ourselves fresh and anew to you with all our hearts, with all that we have, that all that we ever hope to be. Let us make that whole and complete commitment without reservation to you, Father, and to our Savior, Jesus Christ. May the Holy Spirit come and minister to us and seal this critical understanding in our hearts to put you first, that you're first in every part of our life, that nothing can ever take your place as being first in our life. Thank you, Father, for your grace. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your love that fills us today. We praise you and we thank you in the mighty name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen.